Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Oh and two. Pitch. Swing and a miss. He got him. An absolute masterclass from Christopher Sanchez. A complete game. The Phillies have won the series. They take game two over the Red Sox 4-1. And the Sox looking to salvage the finale here in the city of brotherly love. That was just awesome stuff on the mound from the Phillies.
It was good stuff on the mound. I mean, I'm not going to argue with that.
Sanchez, excellent.
Sanchez was really good. We took the under on 1.5 Red Sox runs off Sanchez yesterday.
Yeah, nailed that bet.
I didn't realize he was going to go a complete game, but either way, we hit that bet.
Effortless. I literally don't think he sweat.
No.
I think he just like got the ball and went, and you're like, there's no. They had the one homer. You're like, great. Will said they had four hits. I don't know, four hits.
No, I pretty much remember Ref Snyder, and that was it. Yeah. But so it was good stuff on the mound from Sanchez, which I thought was Sanchez. Thank you, Will.
Yep.
Not so good in the batter's box for the Red Sox.
No, it was not. A lot of strikeouts once again. Was it 12 strikeouts? Have they struck out 28 times in two games?
It was 12 last night. What was it in game one? It was 16 in game one?
Yeah.
I know Wheeler had 10.
But then the bullpen was mowing them down. So they struck out 28 times?
Well, one game did go to extras.
Chalk
that up.
My math is bad, but that is one. Basically, out of the two games, they struck out one full game and then a little bit of another game.
Yep, it's good. It's a good way to put it. Yep.
Basically, one whole game they were out via the strikeout.
Yeah, I don't love that.
No.
And I don't love what I'm seeing.
No, because that's back to the old form where they would have these games where not only did the offense struggle, but you're like, there was nothing there. I think, in fact, for a team that loves the drive line and swing hard and hit the ball in the air, I think they had the home run, so give them that.
Yep.
And one other ball maybe in the air. I think every other out was either a strikeout or a ground out.
Yeah, you don't like to see
that. Brutal.
And like, so, look, I don't like what I'm seeing last night, whether it was another catcher's interference. I had less of an issue with Narvaez on that play and just an issue with the whole operation being asleep with Bryce Harper stealing home. Fitz also had a balk on the play.
Yeah, Fitz was bad.
Guy advanced third. He gives up two bombs, meaning Fitz. So I didn't like any. I didn't like
Kyle Schwarber bomb.
Yep, sure.
Schwarbs. People were talking a lot about that last night, and I would agree with them. Like, basically, this could also be a Would You Rather Wednesday. Would you rather have Kyle Schwarber or Masataka Yoshida? Because that's essentially what they did.
Yeah, So I thought you were going to throw a real one at me, Schwarber. I would rather Schwarber over Yoshida.
That kind of is a real one.
Yeah.
Because he ended up becoming like...
I know that was a real situation. I'm saying a real choice is what I mean.
Oh, no, I'd rather have bets.
Not a hard choice.
No, it's not. But it's like you basically gave him a similar contract for a little slap hitter or a guy that hits 50 home runs a year.
Yeah, I'd rather him.
The 50 home run guy?
I would rather him. What I would rather. By the way, Cora before the game was asked if he was intrigued by Kyle Schwarber's free agency. He says very, very intrigued. Then there was a follow-up, how intrigued?
Wait, what?
And he said, very.
I can't emphasize the very enough. I told you guys I'm very interested.
Okay.
But, like, what is he supposed to say?
I don't know.
This is a weird
not
question
interested.
For him. Are you interested? I'm not.
No, not at all.
I'm interested.
Look, if they want to bring home Kyle from Waltham, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Just,
that's a tomorrow problem. That's
it kind of is.
Not a today's solution. I don't think the Phillies are dealing him.
Isn't that more of a question for Breslow, too?
Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, Cora.
I'm very interested.
Are you intrigued by Kyle Schwarber?
Tomorrow on the front office report, it's not Breslow tomorrow, right? It's Sam Kennedy, 9 o'clock on the Greg Hill Show. I thought I heard him say Kennedy this morning.
Well, you can ask him, too.
Hey, Sam Kennedy, are you very, very interested in Kyle Schwarber and his free agency?
Yeah.
Very.
Very interested.
Very. So I didn't love on the field. Throw the Schwarber home run on top of it. The stupid operation at home. No one knows that Bryce Harper's stealing home. On top of that, you balk and have a catcher's interference again. That's 8 of them on the year. I don't like what I'm seeing from the offense. I didn't like what I saw out of Dick Fitz. I don't like what I've seen out of the Red Sox, dropping 4 out of 5 to start the second half, hanging on to a playoff spot now. 2 days ago, everybody around them lost when they lost.
Yeah.
Last night, everybody around them won.
Yeah.
Rays, Yankees, Mariners. Bad, bad, bad. I also don't like what I'm reading about the Red Sox and their approach at the trade deadline.
Ugh.
But real quick, a reminder, Jones and Keefe, we are live today from Patriots training camp here at Gillette Stadium. And we're brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Can I give you a few more takeaways from training camp today? Giardi had a later post.
Yeah, please.
But no. I found some stuff in here interesting. Sorry, we're going to give it to you anyway.
Cora's like, let's talk about my good baseball team.
Yeah, no, Cora's like, please. Yeah, please, go ahead.
Thank God, camp's here.
Number one, I meant to detail this earlier. Jared Wilson, the third-round pick out of Georgia, the second third-round pick, in addition to Kyle Williams, was getting some top reps with Drake May at center. So maybe he's in the mix as a first-team center and or guard. He kind of moved around a ton of the offensive line while he was at Georgia. But maybe he's a center, which would shift either Bradbury or Strange.
Yeah.
Hopefully Strange right out of there.
I mean, Bradbury, it seemed like that was a poorly kept secret when you did, like, is Andrews retiring? Is he getting cut? Like, whatever. But Andrews wasn't going to be back. And then they're like, oh, they really want Garrett Bradbury. And you're like, all right. But, like, the Vikings didn't want him anymore.
Not at all.
And according to all the PFF stats, he's the worst pass blocking center in football. And you're like, he's our guy. I'm like, well, hopefully they have another option.
We have a year two franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Let's bring in the guy who can't protect at all in the pass.
No, he's the worst at it. That's why, like, a middle round rookie, if they identified him and they want him, like,
hey, look,
yeah, give him a shot.
Look, I acknowledge, I don't love the offensive line, but I acknowledge. Mid-season, we could look at it and say, you drafted a left tackle, fourth overall in Will Campbell.
Stud.
You found a center in the third round. I mean, that's possible.
Yeah,
it is. I wouldn't wager on it. Huh? I'm not holding my breath on it. But I acknowledge that's possible, and I didn't expect him to be in the mix, top center, on day one of training camp. I'd say that's a good sign. Here's another good sign from Giardi.
All right.
Didn't detect any hint of a limp from Diggs. Neither did I.
No. I have hawk-like vision.
Oh, if something's limp, I'm spotting it. But he says,
is that your superpower?
Yeah, that's right.
The Fantastic Five.
No,
Adam Jones.
I'm the rock hard man, is what we established earlier today. Yeah,
good point.
Giardi says he did detect a little hitch in the spring. Andy Hart was watching tape right away and detected a little hitch.
He thought so.
So there's that.
No, he looked great. He was leading the drills.
I thought he looked tremendous.
In fact, he did more stuff than I even thought.
100%.
I thought yesterday we got a very positive update, and we talked about what Vrabel said, and we're like, all right, that's a positive update, but it's still sort of TBD as to what he does. And maybe, like, he does every other drill, and you're like, all right, he's still out there. But he was, like, front of the line, showing the younger guys how to do it. And then he was out there during 11-on-11s, and Drake May was looking for him. So, no, really with that stuff, I'm very pleased.
Giardi also said he saw a lot of Keon White around the quarterback, which ties into the bad. Pass protection less than optimal. We read that from Bedard, Callahan, and others. He says some would even say subpar.
Oh, boy.
A lot of heat off the tackles. He says Dobbs was spraying throws here, there, and everywhere.
He was terrible.
Which I did notice.
He was bad.
He also he makes a good point. He said, I didn't notice any of the receivers that are fighting for jobs and playing time. He says Polk was conditioning only, but Baker, Board, and Booty were all out there. None of those guys flashed, which I'd agree with. Chisholm had one nice catch. Kyle Williams had one very noticeable catch, two total. Diggs I noticed as well. I didn't notice any of those others.
No, it was Diggs and Williams, I would say. And then Drake May, pretty sharp, except for the one kind of overthrow that Peppers almost picked off. That's kind of what jumps out to me mainly. And then, yeah, how bad the second offense looks. But that's sort of a secondary thing. So there's a big-time competition, not only for playing time, but just roster spots at the receiver position. And it seems like Kyle Williams, who's probably already going to go in, like, sort of, you know, he's going to get the benefit of the doubt. He's going to get any kind of tiebreaker. But even still, he kind of separated himself from that group of second and third-year receivers.
Yeah, it's one day at training camp.
Of course.
You know, who knows what it actually means at the end of the day, but Williams flashed, and that's good. The other side of that coin is none of those other guys did, which... Well, that shouldn't be a surprise. None of them were good last year.
Right.
None of them were good.
I would have been surprised.
Jeff Passan, circling back to the Red Sox, detailed rumors at the trade deadline for all 30 teams. He asked the question, could the Red Sox stand pat? He highlights their biggest need, high-end starting pitching. Best fit would be Joe Ryan. He also details their best asset as Jaron Duran. Passan writes, at this moment, as of this morning, the Red Sox are not inclined to engage in any large-scale deadline moves. I don't love that.
I hate that.
Not inclined
to use a large-scale deadline move.
He says.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it gets worse.
Oh.
Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow, my guy, has said the team wants to add after trading Devers, and, well, it would be a surprise to no one if they did.
Okay.
Boston is an organization that deeply values operating efficiently.
Eesh.
And a market like this is the epitome of inefficient. Okay, great. So because you can't win the deal the way you want to win the deal, you won't make one to help your team this year?
Like, he didn't win the Betts or the Devers deal. Think about it that way.
Great point.
Win those deals.
Great point.
So you should be a player in it. And like, so when he talks about efficiently, he's not talking maybe part of it is payroll, but it also is just like, we don't want to give up too much for this asset. And really, with the thought of maybe being burned down the road, if you trade three minor leaguers for Joe Ryan, you won't really know if you got torched by it for several years.
In terms of prospects, I'm not sure you can overpay for Joe Ryan. He has years of control. Lugo, you could overpay for. We're going to get to Lugo in a moment. If it's a rental player, then I get that.
Well, Joe Ryan, you could if you're starting to peel away from the major league roster. But I don't think anybody's doing that.
In terms of prospects, like take Anthony
Even
and Meyer.
Even Campbell to the side. Campbell, right. I don't know if Campbell's a deal breaker for me. Like, Meyer and Anthony are deal breakers.
Right.
Campbell's not, but you need to get a really good return.
But the password.
Password, see ya.
I think I heard the pronunciation last night was Joe Stinkson. Not Josh Stinkson.
Josh Stinkson? Joe Stinkson?
Joe Stinkson, it's even worse.
Got to trade him.
Although the Woosox.
Totally, all those guys.
Our guys at the Woosox had a good tweet. They're like, Minnesota. The game was in St. Paul last night. They're like, Minnesota has accepted the password because he hit a home run. And it's like, oh.
Oh, I get it.
They're working out a trade.
but Joe Ryan.
Joe Stinkson, Peyton Tolley, take whoever you want. I don't care.
Yep.
You can't overpay for Joe Ryan. And I don't care if it's inefficient.
Yeah.
It would help the team this year, and he's cost controlled. A rental player, I get. He says, holding now, passing. Says holding now would speak to the Red Sox comfort with their current roster and the exceptional price to bolster it.
All right, real quick, accepting your current roster or liking your current roster, I don't know how you can after the way this series and the last series have gone.
Bingo.
You can't. Maybe at the All-Star break. Maybe.
Even
right?
At the All-Star break would be dumb. You're buying it on Toro and you're buying it on Bayo and Giolito. Like, you need to improve on those guys, not just roll the dice with them.
It would be dumb, I agree, but you could also say we're on a 10-game heater and we're basically balancing 10 everyday players for 9 spots. And so you're like, oh, that's not a bad place to be.
Sure.
But then you see how you kind of come out of the second half. You're like, all right, no, this team obviously needs to buy.
So I don't like that. I don't like any of that. He says the Red Sox are weak enough in spots. The non-Sadon Rafaela and Carlos Narvaez defense and base running. Narvaez, by the way, hasn't been great defensively the last couple
of nights. But I think that's kind of not fair to the guys on the left side of the infield. Like, I think Bregman and Story play pretty good defense.
Yeah, Meyer's been great wherever they stick him.
Right.
Defensively.
So, but he's like, he's singling out center and catcher. Isn't Willier Abreu a Gold Glove right fielder?
Yeah.
And isn't Bregman a Gold Glove third baseman? Isn't Story an above average shortstop? And isn't Meyer probably an above average, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think the outfield's that bad, or the defense is that bad.
Now that you pointed out, that's a weird line. It acknowledges this might not be the year to chase a player on an expiring contract such as Seth Lugo. More on him in a moment.
But Joe Ryan's not an expiring contract.
Nope. He says maybe they pony up to get Ryan, seeing it the same way they did in the 4-prospect haul to land Crochet, but for now at least, they simply haven't been willing to go there. So he covers all his bases.
That's
he
says ridiculous.
Joe Ryan's maybe they'll decide to do it, but as of right now, they're not.
They're like, they're not going to do anything, but they might get the best guy available. It's like, oh, awesome. Thanks, Jeff.
I don't like any of that. I mean, I like the door open on Joe Ryan, but the overall tenor of that makes it sound like they're doing nothing.
Agreed.
I also don't like this. Ken Rosenthal.
All right, little Kenny Rosenthal.
And if Passan isn't the best guy in the sport, info guy in the sport, I think Rosenthal is. He suggests the Red Sox and Royals could be interested in a trade centered around Seth Lugo and Jaron Duran. Seth Lugo has a player option at the end of this year. He will opt out. He's only due $15 million, unless he gets hurt and blows out his arm, in which case you don't want him anyways.
He's good. He was great last year. He's having a good season
this year. He's having a very good year.
Yeah, he's 35.
I'm not trading Duran for him. And then you get into the details of this, and it's even worse. He says the Red Sox would likely want bullpen help and or prospects in return as well. And then he names catching prospects Blake Mitchell or Carter Jensen. What do I need a catching prospect for?
Unless.
And subtracting Jaron Duran for rental Seth Lugo. Why am I doing that?
This isn't happening. But for the – I'm saying for my scenario here.
Oh, your scenario.
If you trade Jaron Duran and you get Lugo, a reliever, and prospects in return in the same deal, would you be more willing to then trade other prospects for Joe Ryan?
Okay, well, fine.
Meaning like, we didn't just get rid of all of our farm system. We also replenished some of the farm system.
If they're in concert and I net out Joe Ryan and Lugo, and I've subtracted Duran and prospects, sure, I would do that.
Okay,
yes.
Same. But I don't think that's what he means, but that's where I go. The only way I would be okay bringing back prospects in any kind of Duran trade would be, one, you got an actual active major leaguer within that same deal, and then it freed you up to trade other prospects for another established major leaguer. They should walk away with at least two guys that are added to the 26-man roster.
Agreed. Lugo and bullpen help? I'd like that for the team. Yeah. I wouldn't trade Duran to do it, and I don't want prospects back. Rosenthal writes, it's a trade that could thread the needle of the Red Sox helping their team in the immediate and also landing a talented hitter that fits the timeline of their young prospects. Why if they are acquiring prospects,
threading the needle,
right?
Just be a buyer.
Like I'm Brespro. I'm bullish on Craig Breslow.
That could change in a week.
Oh, I mean, if he's trading for prospects at this deadline, I'm going to rant and rave about it.
You got to bail. So I 2-3 years ago, I remember. I think I was sitting right here when it happened.
Oh boy,
it was Patriots training camp.
Yep.
Oh boy, no doubt, Nick. It was a remember where you were moment. They traded Christian Vasquez, but they also acquired Eric Hosmer.
Yes.
And this was Heim Bloom's attempt to thread the needle because all year long they needed a first baseman. And you're like, they got Hosmer. Nobody was all that excited about it, but you're like, all right, he's a major league first baseman.
Yep.
Then they're like, hey, we're also going to do you one better. We're going to trade our starting catcher. So then you had a need there. But we all ripped Heim Bloom at the time. They did acquire Willy Abreu. But what would have been more impressive is if you just said, we don't have it this year. We're trading Vasquez, Bogarts, J.D. Martinez.
Everything that isn't nailed down.
Evaldi, maybe. Yep. I'm trying to think who's on that roster.
Yep.
Trade all those guys away that you weren't going to bring back anyway. You could have gotten five Willy Abreus. If you got Willy Abreu for Vasquez, what were you getting for Bogarts and J.D. Martinez?
Great question. What'd they get at the end of the day? Oh, that's right, nothing. Maybe comp picks.
I should see
what those picks turned into, but, you know.
No, but that scares me when you say, like, thread the needle.
I don't like it.
Oh, we trade Duran, we get a prospect, but we also get Lugo. It's like, no.
And, again, these are the most plugged-in guys in the sport. This is Passan and Rosenthal.
Real quick.
I don't think it's coming out of nowhere.
Speaking of The Athletic, they have their MLB trade deadline big board, 1 through 20 of names to watch.
Okay. We did the ESPN one the other day. Duran was 3. There were no other Red Sox.
Trade deadline is a week from tomorrow. Joe Ryan's number 1,
nice.
Who we would all like.
Go get him.
Jaron Duran is 2. Willy Abreu is 5. So a little smoke around Abreu, meaning like maybe they
wouldn't move both. They'd move one or the other.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe and like a list like this is sort of covering their bases.
And
but maybe
both,
that's a little bit more smoke because all the smoke has been around Duran.
They're both top 5 on that list.
Yeah. Also, Eugenio Suarez is 3, and my guy, Emmanuel Clase, is 4th. I got his jersey, so I can break that out anytime you need it.
I've heard.
Yeah. Seth Lugo, 7 on this list. Merrill Kelly, 8, another name that we've heard.
7!
Mitch Keller's on this list. Zach Gallen's on this list. Ryan O'Hearn, Josh Naylor.
There's
all names that have been on
there. All those guys would help. Every single one of the names you just said would help. There's no reason to be acquiring. Go get one of those guys. Don't bring in prospects at the depth. Don't let me down, Breslow. Don't let me. I've been out here on the island defending Breslow. Don't let me down on this.
I got a bad feeling.
I have a
like
worse,
every character ever in Star Wars. I got a bad feeling about.
I have a worse feeling today than I did the other day, and that's before you even get into how crappy the team's playing on the field. 617-779-7937. You could jump in line for WEEI afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. I think that comes your way. They also have the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, today,
AC.
Right? They're going to talk to AC today, get his thoughts on all things Red Sox. Not going to want to miss that. Nope. So stay tuned for it here on WEEI. We got the clip du jour coming up. And right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Grab Bag.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Richard Fitz gave up 4 runs on 6 hits in 3 1/3 innings, earning the loss in the Red Sox 4-1 loss to the Phillies in Philadelphia last night. Sox hope to avoid the sweep tonight in the series finale. First pitch is at 7:05. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Lucas Giolito gets the start for the Sox against the Phillies' Jesus Lozado. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Christian Arcand beginning at 6:05. And day one of Patriots training camp has wrapped up here at Gillette Stadium. Day two of practice will begin tomorrow at 10:15. It is once again open to the public with gates opening at 9:15. Did you know dropping your first 25 pounds with Awaken 180 adds 6 to 10 yards to every shot? Even better scores every 5 pounds after. Look it up. Freedom from excess fat is measurable. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your frame. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.